Glory to God. Well, would you like to look into the Word this morning? The Word feeds us, right? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 9. This is some reflection of our meetings with Pastor Ricky and Pastor Webb, thinking on some things that were ministered. And I might call your attention to recall maybe a couple of things along the way here that were spoken. You may or may not have been with us on each of the meetings. But special meetings like that, sometimes, especially Pastor Ricky, there's so much in him. He's going 100 miles an hour, and he'll just mention a thing, maybe take a side journey, show a scripture in support, but onto it. And then comes the end of the message, and he says, I didn't preach anything in my notes, you know. It's just all this other stuff. And that's partly because he's just so full of areas of scripture. He'll say something and then feel like, well, maybe somebody needs to see the scripture where that comes from and take that little side journey there. But if you grow up in the Word in some things, you start spotting what he's talking about. And, oh, yeah, and he'll just mention it, and it's worthy of further exploration, but there's not time for it. And so sometimes what I'm getting to is sometimes I'll hear either of them or ministers say a thing, and there's a lot more to it, but there's not time to talk about it. So there was some things said that maybe you wondered, was that all disjointed, not all one message? No, it was one message, but over time, you know, I may be able to bring some of those things out. And there's something there, right there, to be said for the role of a local church and a pastor. You know, guest ministers, when they come, they're on assignment to hit a couple things or several things hard, and then they are to the next place. But a pastor will slow it down. A shepherd, feed the sheep, slow it down a little bit and cover those things such that everybody can say, oh, okay, got it, I see that. And you can grow from sustenance of food like that, right? So the theme that I asked them each to minister on, and they did in different ways, different parts of it, we were talking about steps of faith. And I don't know that we ever did pull up that scripture from, I think it's Romans, where it talks about Abraham or Abram and how he's referred to as the father of faith, but the scriptures describe how he went through, and that's a direct quote, steps of faith. The point was is that great things are accomplished in God, even miracles, but usually in a series of smaller steps. Okay. If God's going to do great things in your life, he's interested in a faith walk. Said another way, it's trusting him in an ongoing walk. Every day, trust me. Every day, trust me. But what about, hang on, we'll get to that. Just trust me, right? You'll see that occasionally with parents and children. They just, you know, the child wants to know everything right now. Yeah, I'm your mama. I'm your daddy. Trust me. We'll get to that. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it, that kind of thing. So it's a walk of trust. And so steps of faith. And recently has really been demonstrated in our church in some of the building things that we're doing here. We took steps yesterday on our building, and this is accomplished. Then this, when I was watching that old air conditioner come off the roof yesterday and go down, I was just thinking, how many years in my spirit have I seen that happening and been preparing for that day? And there it's happening, right? And of course, you don't take the old one down without a new one and all of that kind of thing. So it's just steps. And many times I will contemplate the whole big picture, but how are we going to do all of that? Somebody recently said, oh, you're putting $1 million worth of improvements in the structure. Yes, a little at a time. Because I don't know about you, but I don't yet have $1 million in my pocket that I can say, let's just do it. Right? So even we as a congregation, we're doing it. We're doing $1 million worth of work, a step at a time. So that was our theme, steps of faith. And big miracles happen sometimes in bite-sized pieces. So talking about that a little bit was what they were on. And this scripture came to mind through this week that I think I want to reinforce as these things go along. Hebrews 6 and verse 9, we'll start there. It says, but beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Just before this, the writer of Hebrews was talking about some people who've kind of fallen away from the Lord. And so he's saying to the people that read Hebrews here, I'm confident of better from you. Then reading on, it says, things that accompany salvation. There's a little spot we could jump off on a little bit. When one gets born again, when they get saved, there are things that accompany that. You should see a bit of a heart change. You should see a lot of heart change. You should see maybe some differences. Some people grow very quickly out of some things. Others take time. Some have testimony, got saved, came to the Lord, and just took alcohol out of me or drugs or something like that. Others, it's been a process. And one's not necessarily better than the other, but you should see and continue to see growth. There will be things that accompany salvation. Consider your life. Were there things? Are there things even to this day that accompany salvation? Are you different? Are you continuing to grow and be different, right? So things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love that you have shown towards his name. Anybody in here ever work towards blessing God, doing what God would have you to do, helping people, working, volunteering in ministry, whatever it is? And have you ever felt like, what's it good for? Or who notices? Or does it make any difference? Or has God forgotten we're working over here? God does not forget that. He does not forget. Whatever seed you've sown towards the kingdom, whatever good you've done for someone, whether you see or believe you see the results right now or not, that's not the point. That's not the issue. And maybe this also points out as well, if your labors of love are done so somebody notices, you already have your reward or lack of it. But if you serve people, you help people because you love God, then God is the one who will remember and reward. And he doesn't forget. So if no one thanks you, and it didn't seem to work, and it didn't seem to do any good, is beside the point. Did you do it for God? If you did it for God, you won't be disappointed with the results. You're able to say, well, I did as unto the Lord, and my reward is with him, and I believe it will yet produce fruit. Offense is not possible when your heart set is there. And maybe, see, here you go. Rabbit trails come up, and good things to point out along the way. Offense in people comes from unmet expectations that you put on somebody. Right. Naaman the leper came to the prophet of God with his leprosy, and when the prophet didn't answer the door but sent a servant and told him, go dip in the Jordan River 7 times, he got offended. And he tells why. I would have thought the man would have at least come out and waved his hand over me. So Naaman had an expectation on a man to go and acknowledge him a certain way, and when he didn't do it, he was offended and mad. Thank God he had a servant himself who said, hey, now how difficult would it be to go dunk yourself 7 times in this old river that you don't like? And well, I guess it wouldn't be so hard to do that. And he did it, and he was healed. Amen. A couple of things. First of all, Naaman had to humble himself and not expect somebody to acknowledge him. And second, it's clear that it wasn't the prophet. It was the word of God in the mouth of the prophet and obedience to God that healed Naaman. All of that keeps things in proper perspective, you see. So that's how offense comes. You expect something of somebody, your brother or sister. You serve and you want them to notice you, and you expect the pastor to acknowledge or whatever it might be, or a pastor expect the congregation to acknowledge, right? There's that too. That's where you get into offense. That's where you get into trouble. So serve God, serve people for the love of God and nothing else, and he won't forget. Amen. Jesus talked about Pharisees who loved to pray in front of people and said they got their reward. People noticed. That's it. But you serve God as unto God. If you'll do that, you will be unoffendable. And that's a great way to live, because the burden of offense is a heavy, heavy burden. Should I try what Pastor Ricky says? I'm preaching better than your amen. For the love of God is not, or for God is not unjust to forget your work, labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. There's another little side note we'll just see here. When you minister to the saints, when you do something for people, you're ministering to God. Yeah, so when you wake up in the morning and say, oh God, I just love you, I love you, and then a difficult task comes up and you got to make up for somebody at church who didn't do this or that, You just loved God. You just ministered to God. Amen. Verse 11, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. But note the word diligence. Tell me what diligence means. Hardworking, persistent, consistent. How about faithful? Keep on going. Pushing through. Follow through. Okay, so diligence is noted here. Show the same diligence till the full assurance of hope till the end. This implies that whoever is being written to here started doing what they needed to do. And the writer is saying, keep doing it. Keep diligent. All right? Show that diligence all the way through to the end. Verse 12 says that you do not become sluggish. What's sluggish? Slowing it way down, right? I think King James Bible says slothful there. Slow moving. I didn't know an animal could move so slow. Watch a sloth, right? So sluggish. It says, but imitate, and then here's my highlight, here's where I'm going today, those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, we've done some talking in the past week in some of these meetings about steps of faith, the operation of faith. Faith produces results, but faith has a partner. And you cannot separate these partners. Because we like to think that if we exercise sufficient faith in one great move or one great prayer, we've released faith and that's it. Kaboom. That almost never happens. Get in a great service, get together with all the other prayer warriors, and we feel the presence of God. You got goosebumps on your goosebumps, and there's been an appearance of an angel spotted by Sister So-and-so, and boy, if there was ever a service or a prayer meeting where heaven come down, and it was thick, I mean so thick, the anointing was so thick we couldn't stand in the room, and oh, I've been to prayer meetings, but let me tell you, this was a prayer meeting of all prayer meetings, and we released faith, we got that thing handled, and it's done. And tomorrow you hear that it seemed like everything unraveled and it went the wrong direction. What about that? Promises of God, it is said here in this 12th verse, are inherited by faith and patience. Now, isn't patience just the most frustrating thing? We all know that famous little prayer, Lord, grant me patience and give it to me now. I need patience right now. How's that work? I need patience right now. Yeah, faith and patience. So combining steps of faith with patience, we are talking about the process. Faith is really a process, and inheriting the promises is a process. And I myself have seen things that, boy, I couldn't believe how long it took. Now, that may be partly my fault. It may be that I didn't understand the timing. Sometimes it's the timing of God. Other times, it's just we're not showing the diligence. We're not staying consistent, faithful. We're not persisting. We're not pushing through. That comes into play. Have you ever wondered, how close are you to a thing and you give up and it's like starting all over again, right? Yeah. It's kind of like pushing a car when it's stuck in the snow or the mud and you push and it ain't making it and you relax and it comes all the way back. Push, you know, you're just almost there, almost there. Now, in the case of the car, there is a rocking that does help. But how many times have you and I been on the verge of seeing the manifestation of a victory and we give up, we let up, or something comes out of our mouth that will undo all the progress that we've made? It's dangerous to talk. More than once, Jesus was brought a scenario, and then there was a daughter sick, and then the word comes that she dies when a father is seeking Jesus to come with a healing and asks, come to my house. Jesus says, I will go, met by the servant. Don't bother to teach her anymore. Your daughter has died. You recall the story? What happens next? Jesus immediately tells the father, don't be afraid, fear not, and don't say a word. Jesus made sure that that father didn't say anything. It can be dangerous to talk. When you've been pushing, believing, and then something happens, and it's just human nature, we have a reaction so many times. Oh! Even that, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. How close are we? Well, you don't know. You may be one response away from total victory. You know, about 2 years ago, better than 2 years ago, we did the remodeling in our restrooms over there, and there was a fair amount of money involved in doing that project, and you know, where's the money going to come from to do the restroom remodeling that we did? And I was over at the Village Hall discussing with the chief of the building inspectors in the commercial division our project, and we're discussing plumbing. And they require that you hire licensed plumbers in commercial work. If it was residential, you can do your own, and we were more than capable of doing our own plumbing. And I'm kind of freaking out just a little bit on the inside, and how are we going to pay for a plumber? Just while I'm standing there, you know how things just start rushing through your mind, and you start feeling hot, sweaty, and all of that, like, you know, and he's being insistent. And I got a little impatient, and I'm just about, the sentence is fully formed in my mind, and it's just about to come out of my mouth. You know, you can think faster than you can talk. That means you can have a thought and catch a thought and get a new thought before your mouth gets too far. And sometimes it would be better, say nothing. Boy, I have learned how beneficial it is to say nothing. But I had this sentence just fully formed, and my mouth opened, and it was about to come out, and I almost said, you just killed my project, to the building inspector, by insisting that I have a licensed plumber come in and do the work. Because I'm seeing there, well, there's 10 grand, and it was. But I caught myself and didn't say it. And I realized if I would have said that, it wouldn't be the building inspector who killed my project. It would have been me. I would have killed it with those words. And then to later try to work that around, you know, could I have? Yeah, but it would take a lot of undoing, you know. Repenting before God, getting my mind renewed, you know. And now the enemy has something to work with. My words were released. You know, we release faith and power when we speak words. That's how God created us. We operate like he operates. We're created in his image. And when you put words out there and that power is released, you cannot pull them back. They're out there. So we got to watch that through faith and patience. And what I'm working towards here is kind of saying this. Patience is the ability to make sure you're remaining in faith. And I promise you, it will be tested. What did James write? Though the testing of your faith, or was it Peter? The trying of your faith is more precious than gold. It's a guarantee. If you stand in faith, thank you, Father, whatever it is, you know, I receive it now. Now we go forward rejoicing. We thank you for it. Here it comes. And then that has to be tried. It has to be tested. That's the enemy's job. Devil has a job, and he's doing it. Yes. Is to come and tempt, or another word for tempt is test. Yeah. His job is to test your faith. So there will be an obstacle. There will be a test. There will be people who are uncooperative. There will be a circumstance. There will be a waiting time. Just know it. It's all coming. Yeah. After you have your hallelujah, there it is. There's going to be, uh-oh. For sure. Absolutely certain. There will be uh-ohs that come. So faith must couple with patience to inherit the promises. Amen. Now, the stronger you grow in these things, the more you can optimize that time period. And you can get it shorter and shorter and get results that are larger and larger. What is that? That's growing up in God. That's becoming more and more mature. Amen. Through faith and patience inherit the promises. So last week, emphasizing steps of faith. You might say it another way, steps of patience. Steps of patience. This was part of the point last week. It's part of the point today. Exercising faith is not a singular act. Remember Pastor Ricky mentioned a couple of times, the just shall live by faith. It's a lifestyle, not an occasion. Well, I wish we'd just accomplish this and then we could relax a little bit. Nope. When you gain a particular victory by faith in faith and whatever that is, check that one off. Okay. The Lord will always, because he's interested in growth and in a trusting relationship, always challenge you the next thing, a bit higher, and a bit higher, and a bit higher. So it becomes an entire lifestyle. Never forget my older of our two daughters, the older Jessica, coming and saying, "Dad, I guess I'm figuring out I'll never stop exercising faith. There'll always be something." Now, at the time, she was just getting clear of some turmoil and some troubles. Fall between the cracks scenario that just was a mess. But during her walking through, and it took years to straighten that out, and during that time, actually it was Pastor Ricky called Jess and Chris out here and said, "There's a great big angel standing behind you." Y'all remember, some of you were here, talking to them specifically about an angel that was going to work on a situation? That was it. And they completely needed that kind of help and encouragement on that. So anyway, it's not a singular act. And she was realizing, got through that, and we're on to the next thing, the next issue. Even though you get to a point where all your needs are met, God will challenge you to a new accomplishment and new abundance. He's always going to be challenging you to something more, to something more. You know, well, we're comfortable now. Everything's paid for. Don't get comfortable. God's going to say, "Hey, I want you to believe for such and such. And I want you to help and fund this." Whatever it is, it's a lifestyle. Amen. A couple weeks back or so, talking with my folks here and some of my other family members and a particular project that's in the work, and ask my mom how she feels about that. She says anxious. Ask my dad, he's exciting, you know. And they're a partner pair, and they balance each other out and all that kind of thing. And when my mom said anxious, I had to say to her, my kids made me anxious and some of the things too, and others made you anxious, and it's just all, we got to get in faith together on this, right? Never forget what my dad said there. "I just believe I got one more in me." And he's talking about a big faith project of some kind. And I don't know what that might be, but then I told my dad, I blame our family, starting with the early example that I know of his mother, who was widowed when dad was, how old were you, Dad? I keep forgetting, six? Three. When my dad was 3 years old, his father passed away. Four boys. So we're talking 39. So we're talking back then, 1940. She's widowed. She has four boys, you know, the youngest being 3 years old. And somehow or another comes to our area here and manages to buy a farm. How big was the farm? Yeah, that's what I thought. 160-acre farm. She's a single lady in 1942, 3-4, whatever it was. And four boys to raise, and she, on a school teacher's salary, buys a 160-acre farm. So I said, she's the only example I know of. I blame her. She is our bloodline where we just take on these nearly impossible things and believe God, and we have success. And it won't take the time, but boy, they've got some stories. I've got some stories. And now I'm seeing in my kids, we got some stories. So it's a walk of faith, and it can go from needs onto greater and greater accomplishments in God. And why? Because God wants to watch you follow Him and trust Him. Get your needs met first and then beyond. So it's a lifestyle by faith and patience. So exercising faith is not a singular act. It is sometimes a slow steadiness over much time. Like I said earlier about taking that air conditioner off of the roof there, that great big piece of equipment, I've seen that for years. I see some other things for the building, and how long is it going to take? You know, we've been at this a little while. Had the word of the Lord come to me through my pastor, I think it's got to be 5 years ago now, where he said, you know, you got to start doing something about your building. It's been a process, and he said, at least do some landscaping. Well, we haven't got that far yet, but it's happening, it's coming. I thought, why put nice bushes and flowers in front of a ratty building? The siding is kind of rough. But anyway, so we're on it. Years. And it's happening. And we're doing it. So sometimes it's a slow, steady, step by step, patience. So in our meetings here last week, Pastor Webb mentioned three things: focus, flow, and follow through. Remember him saying those things and talked a little bit about each. Focus, flow, and follow through. One thing in particular that Pastor Ricky said, he talked about possessing your soul. Last week's Sunday morning was mostly about the soul, possessing your soul. What does that mean to possess your soul? I'll start with the word soul. Soul is from the Greek word psuche. We understand at least a syllable today that's the same word back in languages, psyche. Psuche in Greek, psyche. You know, when you talk about psyche, you understand that. Psuche, the soul, is the mind, the thoughts, the feelings, the emotions, the processes of personality. Many times the things we say comes out of the soul. We're a three-part being: body, soul, and spirit. The spirit and the soul live forever. The body we're in does not. So one day we'll lay down this body, look forward to a new body, but your personality will carry on with you into a new body. And we're born again in spirit. We are a spirit created in the image of God. So we are a spirit. We possess a soul and live in a body. And so psuche, the soul, is the intellect, the emotions, the feelings, the processes of thought. You might say intelligence, and definitely personality. So that's the soul. He talked about possessing. That is to have control and discipline, to have the oversight. And when we lose our temper and in anger say things to people, we have just failed to possess our soul. We have failed to have the oversight. You blurt out and say something, do something in a moment of anger or jealousy or whatever, or disappointment, whatever it is. That is a failure to possess the soul, to have control of the soul. The soul can be treacherous ground because it instantly wants to fire things off, right? And when the Bible talks about the renewing of the mind, the renewing of the soul, the restoration of the soul. We're born again spiritually. The spirit man changes instantly and completely. You'll never get more born again than you are when you get born again. But the word will continue to wash the mind, renew the soul. And so the soul is a growing process. The soul is where we exercise patience. And part of the demonstration of God in your life is that He wants to demonstrate to you, to the devil, to everybody around you, that your soul is growing. And some things are learned only through the exercise of patience. If it were up to me, it would be instant, boom, 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 done. Right? It's not up to me. I know you'd want it the same way. I say a thing and it is done, right? But a walk of faith is a walk where you continue to trust God, though everything you see looks like it's contrary. That's what faith is to continue to trust when it looks like it's all going down. Amen. So possessing your soul, that was from Luke 21:19. Jesus said that, by patience possess your soul. That part Pastor Ricky didn't mention, but how do you possess your soul? In a word, patience. Boy, when somebody says something to you, they light into you and they light in unjustly, and you in a moment could correct them, shred them, and put them in their place. It requires patience to not do that to them. Amen. I don't like burning bridges because they're usually impossible to rebuild. You know, if somebody wants to part ways with me in an unfriendly manner, I try to throw all of that aside, don't pay no attention to that, and keep it open that that bridge could be recrossed. No need to burn it down on the way out, right? So it requires patience to have control of your soul. And that very same patience is what causes us, coupled with faith, to inherit the promises. In other words, what I'm saying is that we won't inherit the promises of God, these things he's talked about in this life. Among these promises are, by his stripes you are healed. Some people don't receive healing in their body. Why? Because they haven't had the right one pray over them yet? No, there's other issues. If they're walking in anger, bitterness, lack of patience, and so on towards someone, it may disqualify them from healing working in their body. Many have drawn a medical correlation between unforgiveness and arthritis. It's just one of those things that's demonstrated so many times that even medical profession has picked up on that. Unbelieving people. I've read it several places. There's a bitter unforgiveness that leads to arthritis, as for instance. Well, I thought by his stripes I'm healed. Well, that's true. And it's right. Well, I stand on faith on that. And yet the whole time God's dealing with someone, you must forgive. You must forgive. That's why sometimes when ministering healing, say in a healing line, laying hands, sometimes the word of the Lord will come and mention what roadblocks are and give the person an opportunity to change or to forgive. Even if they're going to struggle with that, forgive right here and now, and God will heal, and then you can go to work on that, right? So it says by patience in Luke, by patience possess your soul. How do you know how well you're doing? Well, how difficult is it to maintain your patience? You might not have thought of measuring your faith walk that way before, but this is, you know, well, yeah, I'm in faith. I believe I'm in faith. How do you know you're in faith? Well, I know what the scripture says. Well, how's your patience? Your patience is the true indicator of how in faith are you. How healthy is your faith walk? Look at your patience and you'll know. Another one, I think it's Pastor Nancy Dufresne that really talks about this one. You can measure your in-faithness by the joy that you have. If you're Mr. Grumble Pants walking around all the time, your joy is not where it should be. You're not in faith. You're angry about stuff not working. Amen. So even in the midst of troubles and things not worked out yet, and we've been believing for years and so on, you still can be in joy and in patience. And if you're pressed hard in that, our faith is probably not where it needs to be. Amen. Amen. Faith and patience, we inherit the promises. So the takeaway that I have, and I want to clarify today of all the things that were said in our meeting, takeaway that I have from things spoken of and demonstrated is this. Steps of faith produce results over time if you're diligent. So some of the big things, or even some of the little things, it just didn't seem to work. I have heard many people, well, I tried in faith and it didn't work. No, you didn't try, or maybe you did try. You give it a month, you gave it a day, I gave it a year. Well, a year might not be enough. Because you're undecided, divided. Your soul does real good, and then your soul really doubts, maybe even say some things, oh, this just isn't working. That'd be a good thing to never say. Boy, I've learned. When something's unraveling, go there to Romans and just say, all things work together for good. Them that love God and are called according to his purpose, especially when I don't understand how come this is unraveling. And I even can shorten it. the devil knows when I say all things, he tucks his tail and leaves me because he knows where I'm at. All things. He knows that scripture too. Yeah. Well, all things. All things work together for good. Didn't say all things are good, but all things work together for good. So there's a challenge in front of me. Okay. It's going to work for my good. Amen. So steps of faith produce results over time if diligent. So patience is what we're talking about. Endurance is another word that you could talk about. And if we're possessing our souls with patience, then what we're talking about is this: keeping control of your thoughts, maintaining focus, keep on moving forward in steps, and see it through to the end. Focus, flow, and follow through. All right, I just made them different words to describe it. Maintaining focus. What's maintained focus? You keep your attention on a thing, right? And a lot of extra stuff you don't do. Keep your attention on a thing. Keep moving forward in steps. Just kind of keep going, keep going. It's a small step. It don't mean much. Yeah, it means a lot. It's forward progress. Move in small steps and follow through that Pastor Rob talked about. That's see it through to the end. And here's one of the things that, as I know believers, Christians around me and so on, it's the follow through. It's the, you started out well. In Galatians, Paul said that. You started well. What hindered you? That is a scenario of you start out doing the right things and you stop because you get weary, tired, wonder if it's working. Faith and patience will inherit the promises. I can assure you of this. Those that have seen great achievements, great victories in faith, whether it be in times of need, physical healing, or times of abundance, whatever it is, that person was good at their follow-through in that particular thing. They kept doing what they needed to do. And by the way, every time we do something that goes contrary, that's like ground you got to make up all over again. So sometimes, like I said, talking can be dangerous. Sometimes you're slapped with a new circumstances added on to a problem if you'll just shut up and not say it. Instead of, oh my God, what are we going to do? I thought, don't say that. I've been told by one or two or three people that sometimes I'm hard to read, got a poker face, telling me things and they just don't know how I'm responding to that. That's on purpose. Not to confuse them. That's not what I'm talking about. But I am learning, take it in and don't have a reflexive reaction to it. Just listen to it. Whatever first thoughts come, and they do come, I just reject them. Start kicking them out. We're not reacting to that. We're not reacting to that. I'm not reacting to that. I'm not reacting to that. I'm not reacting to that. That's what patience is to be like that. And you'll work at it. It's not easy. And then especially if you got situations where somebody knows you, if you're married, you got a spouse, they know you. They know where the buttons are. It's like that, right? If you'll disable that button, they won't push it anymore. Every time I just mention this, he goes off. Well, if he quits going off, it won't get mentioned anymore. Amen. My wife is so good at knowing me. She can detect a flare in my nostrils, and I gotta work on that. I don't even flare the nostrils anymore. I got to go total zombie. Little nonverbal cues. So don't get any reaction. Or if I'm angry, I'm angry at some scenario, not the people involved, something like that. That's okay. There is a place for anger. Jesus grew angry a couple of times, you know. God describes himself as an angry and jealous God. But you deal with that scenario and you don't destroy the people. So keeping control of your thoughts, maintaining focus, keep on moving forward in steps and see it through to the end. The one thing, I was starting to say this, the one thing I see in believers is the lack of keep on doing what you need to do. How long until you're done? How long do we keep believing? How long do we keep giving a positive report? How long do I keep thanking God? As long as necessary. And if you'll keep your mouth from saying the negative responses and reactions, that will be abbreviated and abbreviated and abbreviated. You've ever heard of 2 steps forward, 1 step back? Sometimes, we've been taking 1 step forward and about 3 steps back. Well, that'd be a good thing not to say. Right? So what if all steps were forward? That would abbreviate how long it takes, right? So all steps forward. It says this in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. It says, and let us not grow weary while doing good. All of us get tired. All of us grow weary while doing the right things when they seem like they're not working. But if you know it's the right thing to be doing, keep doing the right thing, whether it looks like it's working or not. Now, one of the things I've observed as a pastor, and this is no criticism on any individual that I've ever seen go through this at all. They're just loving, dear people. But I have noticed, if somebody's facing a severe illness, even a terminal illness, and they fight and fight hard, in faith, if they grow weary, excessively weary, to a point where they've just got no fight left in them, it's detectable. I recall at least three individuals where we reached that point. One I'm thinking of in particular, I would go regularly and visit in the hospital, a cancer, aggressive cancer. And we fought that thing back several times. Got good reports, and it would return. And this is an individual that was born again, not real mature in the things of God, but given it as best a fight as, in this case, a man, as I think he could. I could detect the point when I think he's tired. I think he's done. And I asked him some questions about, you ready to meet the Lord? I just make sure. Are you tired? Yeah. And at that point in time, I start talking about heaven. I change going from talking about healing and how to stand in faith, and I start talking about heaven and how wonderful and how glorious. And if family is being left behind, God is faithful to take care of your family. It's going to be all right. And when we reach that point, they don't last long. Sometimes it's hours or just days. Do not grow weary while doing good. And it is human to grow weary. And brothers and sisters, everyone gets to a point they need help. They need encouragement. They need to borrow some strength from you. Are you a strength lender? And by strength lending, I don't mean get together and bad talk the whole scenario and, oh yeah, that sister. That is not strength lending. That is strength taking. And one of the reasons God designed the church is so we would gather and know one another and start rubbing elbows enough that we know when someone's weak and we know how to encourage them and how to build them. In every kind of a battle scenario, a tactic is separate, isolate, and then kill. Cut them off from the supply. Cut them off from the fellow warriors. Isolate and destroy. When people drop out of the body or drop out of church and so on, that's what's going on. They'll get weak, and they'll get weak fast. So if you detect anything, somebody, strengthen and encourage them all the time. But when you see a brother or sister getting weak, kick it into high gear and get others involved. And let's start encouraging. Let's start building so they don't get overly tired. Amen. So let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. That's Galatians 6, 9. If we do not lose heart. If we do not lose heart. So we're talking about patience again. Endurance. Diligence. Keep on doing what you were doing. Keep in the word. Keep in prayer. Keep saying the right thing. New circumstance comes up. It looks worse. Keep saying all things. I think this was where many, maybe most, who have failed to achieve what God had for them, this is where it happens. They start off well, don't stick with it. Many of our churches, the attendance is not what it was years ago. Why? They've stopped doing what they were doing. They've grown tired, weary. Yeah, well, I think the church should change. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. That's a separate discussion, perhaps. But they stop being hungry after the things of God. Stop moving in the right direction. So do not lose heart. I was reminded of something I've heard several different places, so I looked it up. Anybody ever hear of a Texas Ranger named Captain Bill McDonald? Texas Rangers were started in the 1850s, you know, back when they needed some help with the Comanches. Texas Rangers are legendary for their fighting ability, even later when they were a law enforcement agency more than fighting Indians and so on. They had a reputation that one Texas Ranger could take on a whole gang and prevail, right? Hence the TV show Texas Ranger, one bad dude, Chuck Norris. You know, so that's the reputation and legend. But Captain Bill McDonald is famously quoted as saying this: "No man in the wrong can stand up against a fellow that's in the right and keeps on a-coming." And that was the reputation. The Texas Rangers, they keep on a-coming. They're persistent. They keep coming after it, keep coming after it, keep coming after it. And this is what I'm saying to you. Be a Texas Ranger. Keep on a-coming. Keep on a-coming. Now, Jesus told a couple of stories that relate to this as well. And I want you to note, faith and patience is not idle waiting. We've all said this. We're just waiting on God. We're just waiting on God. Maybe not. God waiting on us. Well, I'm just waiting on God. No, patience takes steps. Patience is active. Patience is diligent. Faith is active. So it's not idle waiting with simply, I'm not giving up, I'm just waiting. No, that usually is cover for you have given up, or we have given up, I have given up. What is patience? It's keeping on a coming. Just keep on a coming. Just keep after it. Just keep after it. Well, don't seem like we can take a step here. Well, you can at least lean into it and stop it from sliding backwards. Persistence. And that word was offered earlier. Persistence. What is persistence? It's just keep it coming. Keep it coming. Keep it coming. Momentum is always easier and requires less force than starting a load moving. Anybody that's pushed a car, you know, and you got to push a car up a little hill, up a driveway or something like that, you want to get as much momentum on the load as quick as possible, and it'll help carry up the hill. Maintaining momentum is always easier than starting over. Amen. Keep on it coming. Jesus tells a parable called the parable of the persistent friend. Luke 11:8, the persistent friend. Luke 11:8 says, "I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs." This is the guy that needed bread at midnight. And a man says, "Hey, I'm in bed with all my kids. The doors are locked. Go away." Jesus said he won't give it to him because he's his friend. But this guy's not going away if I don't. So persistence, persistence. And look at what happens next. This is where Jesus says in the next verse 9, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." So putting this together, Jesus is teaching a principle after giving an illustrative story. The story is persistence, persistence. So when we get to asking, seeking, knocking, it's persistently seeking, persistently knocking. Just keep on a going. Keep on a coming. You stay with it, stay with it, stay with it, stay with it. And that's the one who will have what they ask for, who the door will open to, is the one who keeps knocking. Well, God's forgetful and you need to remind him. No, he's not. But he's in enjoying the trust and faith that you grow in. That's what it's about. So stay persistent with these things. I think it even goes in next, in the next verses. We won't go there, but it starts talking about how much your good father, your heavenly father is a good father. How much more will he give? So it's not persistence with God because you got to talk him into it. It's persistence to grow past opposition and to stay trusting and showing that you believe God over what your eyes see. And there's one more, Luke 18, verse 1. This is the parable of the woman and the unjust judge. In 18:1, it says, "Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart." And we see that again. It's persistent. Keep on going. Patience. "Saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, 'Get justice for me from my adversary.' And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, 'Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me.'" Now, we aren't necessarily to consider and think, well, who's the unjust judge and all of that kind of thing, because God, scriptures talk about how much more God, being a good father, will answer. So it's not that you got to go to God and badger him to death. No, God doesn't need badgering. But persistence is what Jesus is teaching, continual coming. He is saying that if this works as a natural principle, how much more as a spiritual principle? So to sum it all up here and finish this morning, it's faith and patience. Let's go back to Hebrews 6, that verse again. "Imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Faith and patience. You may have thought on past occasions, well, I guess my faith wasn't up to where it needs to be. It may not have been a problem of faith at all. It's not being coupled with patience. They go together. It requires both. Part of the element of faith is you don't know how it's all going to work out. Part of not knowing how it's all going to work out is how long will it take? And if there's a limit to patience, there's a limit to faith. The day you stop being patient, the day you stop is the day that you stop walking by faith. Well, how long? How long? How long? This past week, Abraham was mentioned, and how long for this promised son to happen? He and his wife together got an idea and took a step that wasn't the will of God, and something I hadn't thought about before, but Pastor Ricky mentioned, you know, that's some 13 years or so, and in that time, God didn't speak to them anymore. Did you note that when he said that when it came by? You know, it's just, looking for a little direction here, God. What's going on here, God? You know, all of that. And in the end, it was an appearance of the Lord a second time to help him see that. And there's some other things involved too. Some things take two people, producing a child here. Don't have time to teach this, but that was an occasion where husband and wife needed together to be in faith, both of them. Because the promise was to Abraham, but it involved his wife, right? I mean, she's going to bear the child. She needed faith in her older years also to receive child. So some things will be two of you together. Maybe here's a place for patience too. Sometimes you're waiting on your spouse to see what you see and to hook up with you in faith, and that takes patience. Some things you can do on your own. Other things involve other people. Oh, it's a great thing when husband and wife are both pushing the wagon in the same direction instead of one pulling one way and the other pulling the other way, or one in the wagon say, "You go ahead, you pull me." Amen. And some things, a church, we need to corporately together be pulling the wagon in the same direction. We get a faction this way and that way, we're going nowhere. So through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. It's not idle waiting without giving up. It's keeping on a-coming. Keep going. Keep doing the right things. Keep doing the right things. It may not be a great big change in your program where you're at, but just today, whatever it is, pick it up again and just say the word over it and go about your business. And then if you think of it again, just say the word over again, go about your business. When something comes up that looks like it's totally going in the wrong direction, refuse to say that, refuse that thought. No, I don't believe that. I believe what God's word says, and say the word over it again. How long? Just keep on a coming. Just keep on a going. It'll happen. And some things, the bigger they are, the longer you may need to keep on it. Just keep on saying it. Just keep on saying what the word says. Faith and patience. Steps of faith. Faith and patience. Faith and patience. Faith and patience. Well, I'm getting a little older over here. Some things are a lifetime. Well, I should have done this in my 30s. Well, you're not 30 anymore. So get on it. Let's go. I love my daddy's spirit. He said about, say, a real estate project and some of that. I just got one more in me. He's looking for the next great challenge or something like that. I don't know what that'll be, but I may have to help him a little bit. We'll find that, see what that is. But praise the Lord. Faith and patience. Faith and patience. They're coupled together. Are you strong in faith? Well, check your patience and you'll know. Well, do I need to increase in faith? The disciples told Jesus, well, Lord, increase our faith. Well, patience goes with that. Patience may be the place to go to work. Amen. Father, we thank you and bless you for this good, uplifting, and encouraging word. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we thank you for the good work of patience. It says in the scriptures, let patience have its perfect work. It is a work, but it's a good work. And it produces much fruit. And it produces great things. We inherit the promises by faith and patience. We thank you for that today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. And look forward to seeing you again real soon.